Oh, in Jesus' name, what testimony. Lord God, yes, I'm everything with you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, what you, through your Son, have brought us into. A land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, my. Fruit abounding. Oh, my. Clusters of grapes, just one. The two couldn't even carry them out. Lord, I truly, with my brethren, we are overwhelmed, just overwhelmed, stunned in love. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that it's so apparent. And Lord, thank you that this light, this sun glory light, has not only penetrated, Lord God, it's building and it's growing. And it's growing for you. And thank you that we have been brought into this. Thank you, Lord, that you have called and chosen. Thank you for your election of grace. Oh, the grace. Yes, the grace. And thank you that that is our praise forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You know, last week we got into that inheritance talk. I was thinking about how sweet Brother Hill would say, you got to know your birthright. Oh, I love it. Amen, amen, amen. And how the Lord ministers to us the same story in so many different light. That wonderful light and seeing the diamond in the different facets of it. But we began and how sweet we saw. And go ahead and open your Bibles to Joshua. We're going back there in the 14th chapter. But we saw there how Joshua was beginning to distribute out the inheritance to, there were seven remaining tribes, and they'd been slack with their inheritance. And he got after them. He chastened them under the encouragement of the Lord. He said, now look, you've been given this, but you're slack. You don't even know what it is. You've been given everything, and you still haven't even seen it. And the only way you're going to know it is you've got to be able to describe it. You've got to be able to describe it. You've got to know it. And I thank the Lord that we come to a place that we want to know Him and to know His love, to know this truth, the wonderful knowledge. And I was so thankful growing up. My sweet uncle back there encouraged me so many different times. The greatest thing is the knowledge, and it's the knowledge of His love. See, without knowing, you're done. It's true. But when you have knowledge, and the knowledge of the Lord, it's power, and it's all power. And that's the truth in love. That's what knowledge is. It's not just truth, but it's truth in love. It's spirit and truth. And so he encouraged him. He said, you got to get out there, and you got to describe it. And the way you're going to be able to describe anything, you got to walk in it. You got to go see it. And to describe it, you really have to know it. You have to study it. And then they came back, and praise be to God, because of the faithfulness of the Word of God. In what you know and what you believe, praise God, you've walked in it, you'll receive it. That's what faith is. You understand it was given by grace. God said to that wonderful Israel, He said, I didn't choose you because you were mighty in number. I didn't choose you because you guys are fun to be with. I chose you because I love you. I love you. That's the election, love. It was the election back then. It was just unmerited favor, grace. And now it's been poured out to us, praise God. Right there in that same wonderful blood, the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But you're going over to the 14th chapter, and now we have a testimony here of one who not only sees that birthright, not only knew the inheritance, but it was the first love of his life was that inheritance. And who we're going to talk about today is Caleb. Caleb's first love was that inheritance. Caleb, if you remember, was one of the 12 that were the spies that were sent out to go look at the promised land, to go into Canaan. See, Israel had been walking around it for 40 years and they'd never entered in. But Caleb was sent out there to look at it and to see it. And so he and 12, one representing each tribe, went out there, and they looked at that land, but only two of them came back. He and Joshua, only two believed God that it was theirs and it was for them to take right then. And it's a funny thing about Caleb the dog. Yeah. You say, well, why'd you say the dog? Because that's what the name Caleb means. It means the dog. It was something funny about that dog. He went on to represent, as we're going to even see here right now, he represented the tribe of Judah in receiving their inheritance. And you think about the tribe of Judah. It was the largest tribe. It's the tribe, praise God, of the lineage of Jesus. And there was Caleb representing them. And for those who do not know this, Caleb was not a Jew. Caleb was not a Jew. Caleb's father was from the line of Esau. I think of just like us Gentiles. He was not one of them, but by grace through faith he entered in. And not only did he enter in one way he kind of became the leader of faith. He believed God no matter what. Now, let's go ahead and read in verse 6 of chapter 14. It says there, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, made them fear. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, now he's 85 years old, even since the word spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Can you imagine that? As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He didn't tire of it, did he? There was something that kept beating in his heart. There was a first love. And we're going to find out what that is here in the next couple verses. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now you see how special and beautiful this portion of scripture is. Yes, praise God. Caleb was there to receive the inheritance for the tribe of Judah, but first he was after his own. First, praise God, it had to be the much the more exceeding inheritance. Not only was he going to inherit with the tribe, he was going to inherit with the tribe of Judah. But this was a double portion. This was more that was his alone. It was an inheritance out from the family's inheritance. Amen? I think we've heard this theme before, have we not? See, brothers and sisters, we have a better thing. The Word of God says there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was a love that exceeded all the other to her than all of the other women. We get that in the Song of Solomon. We get that in the Virtuous Woman. We get that in the bride for Isaac. We get that in every one of the Old Testament brides, but somehow we don't get it. Amen? Now, we spoke even last week of the more. Philippians 3:11. And I challenge ones with this oftentimes. If everybody is going to be raptured at the same time, then why does it talk about the resurrection out of the resurrection? Why is there an ex Anastasius? And why is the resurrection out from the resurrection? That's called the resurrection of the dead. That's what it's called there in Revelation 3:11. Ex Anastasius is that word in the Greek. It means a resurrection that's out from the resurrection. Huh? Yeah. We talked about that rib portion coming out of the body. The body of Christ is going to be, praise God, it's going to be resurrected. We understand that. But we know that that bride's coming out first. Adam didn't wake up until that bride was taken. That bride was taken and made. It's very obvious, isn't it? Amen, it is. So we see that there's this much the more. There's a double portion. We see that there's a better thing. And that same theme is over and over and over and over in the Word of God. It's vitally important, isn't it? Because the Lord continues to remind us. The Lord continues to bring these things up and says, hey, come on, awaken. Awaken out of slumber. Don't be slack. Go in and inherit this. Now, brothers and sisters, because of faith and because of holy going after the Word of God, he got his double portion. That same theme is to us. Because of grace and because of believing in the grace of God and believing in the Word of God and believing in the promises of God to you, praise be to God, you'll have your double portion. It is that simple. He said it. Just walk in it. Don't go walking in it and say, well, it looks so good, but. See, that was the problem with the other 10. It looks so good, but. And what was the but? The giants in the land. The reasons that they couldn't take it. It was because of giants. And we've got giants all over our life, don't we? And the greatest giant is my unbelief. The greatest giant is, there's just no way. It couldn't say that for me. And I try to somehow allow the enemy to reason. See, when the enemy begins to reason in my mind, it's over. It's a bad thing. It's a way to nowhere. That's man's reasoning. That's what man does. Because man doesn't want to trust God. He don't want to believe God. But I thank God for Caleb. You know, that's all Caleb's life was about. I'm believing God. I don't care what these other ones are saying. I don't care where they're going. I don't even care what they're thinking or saying. The only thing that's hurting my heart is that they're making the people fear. They're hurting others because they're putting in their mind poison. And the poison is to not trust God. The poison is to not go fully into what God has given you. And that's poison. And think of where the poison was coming from. It was coming from the brethren. He gives us example after example. The gold, silver, and precious stone is a small portion. There was 2 out of the 12. All throughout the Word of God, it wasn't a great mass, even of the family, that would believe. It was 1 or 2 that would break out. And by faith, go on. And they came sometimes out of nowhere. But they heard the word of the Lord and they believed. And they made the move. And they said, you know what? If God said that, then it's mine. Now notice here. Notice this. Caleb was coming for the tribe of Judah for their inheritance. I mentioned it was the largest tribe in number. It was the tribe, praise God, of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I think of this in type for us. It's like you have the entire family of God. You got all believers. And yet here's Caleb. He's stepping up and he says, you know what? before any of this, I want my inheritance. And he knows what his inheritance is. He's not just asking for anything. I want my mountain. I want the crown. I want the high place. Oh, there's so much here. You could never even touch this for eternity, what's just in these few little scriptures here. But see, it's much like the bride someday, by the grace of God, that'll enter into heaven. That'll enter in. She'll be met by the bridegroom, praise be to God, receiving her prize. And what is her prize? It's Christ, her bridegroom. And she's going to receive that long before the innumerable multitude will receive their inheritance. Long before. She receives it first. She goes in there and gets it. Now, I want my crown. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. It's okay. It's okay. When you're in love, it's okay. People that aren't in love, you know what? They don't understand, and they'll insult. They'll belittle you. It's the same story over and over in the Word of God. The family didn't get it. The family wanted to hinder Rebecca from going right away, didn't they? They said, honey, that's great. Yeah, I'm great. You're really in love, and you heard this proposal. And I'm sure there were some chirpers in the family. Well, you never even met this guy. She said, oh, no, I know all about him. I know all about him. He's it. And what they wanted to do was hinder her. And they didn't even understand why they were really going to hinder her. But she knew, because she had to make the move now. She had to make the move now. You think about that in the Song of Solomon. There were the daughters of Jerusalem. All these virgins. They were all readied in at least a thought, maybe, for marriage, a relationship and all. But they weren't mature in heart. They didn't get about being in love. And so when the Shulamite fell in love, it bothered them. And they didn't understand it. So what they decided to do was to be insulting. She didn't bicker with them. She just said, I'm going. And then after they saw how she truly, intently, and sincerely fell in love, the only thing that they could say was, return, return, O Shulamite. I'm sure there were ones of the tribe of Judah that might have been there when Caleb stepped up. How dare you take your inheritance first? How dare you go in there asking for what you have before what we have? How many times have you told other Christians about the bridal message and you've been hit with that kind of response? You think you're better. You're not being humble. Let me tell you something. The violent take it by force. And you better be violently in love. Because you just go in there and you take it. That's it. Think of the studies that we've had. And one of the greatest ones is Tamar of the Old Testament brides. I mean, she dressed herself up like a prostitute and slept with her father-in-law. I'm not suggesting anybody do that. But there's a type in that. And you know what that type is? No matter the cost. She said, this is mine. It's trying to be taken away from me. And I know this is mine. And I know it doesn't look right to you. And I don't, I'll tell you what, and it don't feel right to me. But I'm not worrying about feeling. I'm going in there because this is my inheritance. This is mine. And if you're still going to wait around till you feel right about it, till everything's set in your liking about it, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never have it. You'll never, ever have it. We go on and on about these different ones that we're going to inherit. It's funny. There's another tribe, and we might get to it. They had their inheritance given. Well, there was a valley. And in that valley, there was enemy in that valley. And they knew there was enemy in that valley. Well, instead of having faith that God gave them that to go in there and get that portion of land that was given to them, they went back to Joshua, and you know what they're going to tell him? You know what? We need more land because we can't get that land. So since we can't get that land, give us more land. Do you understand this? It makes no sense, does it? And our unbelief with God never makes any sense. And why we don't take our inheritance makes no sense. None. Now, how many times each and every one of us has told God why we're not going? This didn't work out. This don't look right. This don't feel right. Oh, this ain't the same. Let me tell you something. You better wake up right now. This is the same truth. It's the same word. It's the same glory. And you'll be waiting around, and I'll tell you what, it will pass you by. Now, Caleb stepped up. He said, I want my mountain. Now, I think of this as I read these stories, and they're not just stories. These are the love letters from my bridegroom. You got one today? This is yours. How many ways we find our inheritance of the bridal message in the Old Testament? Now let's take note. Why did Caleb receive more? Why? Why did he receive a double portion? And it's so wonderfully simple. He went into the promised land of his inheritance believing. Did you hear that? He went into the promised land of his inheritance believing. Okay, here is the promised land of your inheritance. This is it. This is it. And it's specifically in here, Paul's gospel is it. But are you going in there believing? Is it believing? Is it believing, as he said, wherever my feet have trodden, he's given it to me. Now, I'm going to ask, what did he earn in there? What did he work for in there? Now, honey, whatever you go and develop and plant and make really nice, then I'm going to give that to you because you didn't waste it. That wasn't the terms. The terms were exactly this. Whatever you go in and walk through is yours. It'd be the silliest thing for you to not walk through every bit of it. Amen? Every bit of it. And here is Joshua telling us, and there's more land, more land, more land. So when you think that you've just walked through all of it and that was it, you don't have a spirit like Caleb, because he could have come back after he walked through it. Oh, yeah, that's great and everything. No, he was dreaming about it every moment of the day for the next 45 years. There wasn't anything else he was thinking about. He was drawing up plans, what he was going to bring there. I'm sure talking to his family, oh, we're going to build this there. Get it? Okay, now, it's real simple. He just walked through. God said it. And see, God said it through Moses. See, it's always through the word of God. Amen. I walk through this, and what I see, I take it, and it's mine. And how wonderful what he brought back to Moses was that word. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't just bring him back the word that was in his heart, what he felt. He brought back the word. He brought back the word, praise God, as the word was in his heart. He didn't bring him back something else. He brought him back what he was sent with. And he was brought back believing
He didn't bring back anything new. He already knew what he was going to bring him back if he would bring it back. And what he brought back in it was in his heart. It wasn't in his head. It wasn't just because somebody told him something. He wasn't regurgitating something. He brought him back that it is mine. I got this now. I've been hearing about this, but now mine eyes see. Don't you feel sorry for me in the week. I don't go nowhere. That you know. Now, see, brothers and sisters, he believed it was his. And he loved that it was his. Do you love that this gospel is yours? Don't you love it? I love that it's mine. Yes. And this was the first love of Caleb's life. He just loved it. He knew this was it. This was everything. And how much more of an everything we have in the bridal message. See, and he said, those that were with me, they feared. And he got on them. He said, you know what? They're misleading the people. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly, entirely, the whole counsel. And notice that Caleb said, my God. He didn't say our God, even though he knew it was our God. But he said, nope, this is my God. This is my bridegroom. See, you got to hear Paul's gospel for you, or you'll never take it. You'll never take it. If it's just a story, you'll never take it. Mm-mm. This is your bridegroom that speaks these things to you. And I pray that this unwavering faith in God's promise, like in Caleb, is in us, brothers and sisters. That the word of the Lord said it, and he said it to me. And just like it was said in Caleb's heart, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. I thank the Lord that you hear the whole counsel of God every time we get together. By the grace of God, when we get together, we hear the bridal truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I am proud of the gospel of Christ. I'm proud of it for you. I'm proud of it for me. I'm thankful beyond that as real as this was to Caleb, it's as real, and praise be to God, even more valuable because we've been given something better. Better. Think of that. The interaction, the exchanges that Caleb personally had with Moses, Joshua, the likes of the worthies of faith. But thanks be to God with the ones I've had exchanges with. And I'm looking at them. And I salute you, brethren. Thank God for you. We got nicer clothes. We got comfortable seats. We got a building. But I'll tell you what, I still look out among the tents. We're out in the wilderness. What do you see? What do you see? I see the likes of the Joshuas. I see the likes of the Calebs. I also see the likes once in a while, unfortunately, of those that want to cause the people's heart to melt. Don't let that be you. Don't ever let that be you. Don't promote fear and unbelief in your home. You'll be sorry. Realize what I saw you coming in with your kids today, honey. Your grandkids, sweetheart. Praise God. Proud of you. You didn't see me, but I saw you. And all I could do was thank Jesus. Brethren, we're making decisions. We're making moves. You better make the move to describe it. and not wait. And not tell the Lord how you're going to describe it. You got to get out there. You got to get in there. And it's a place of giants. Now, if we'll hear and believe, and if we'll walk through this joint inheritance, you think of his inheritance, but we have the joint inheritance with Jesus Christ. What's mine is yours. Place yourself there. Place yourself just like a Caleb, hearing from Moses himself, where you trod, your feet will trod. You'll have that for an inheritance. Hear the Apostle Paul tell you. Not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Inheriting it all? Oh yes, we read about that often, don't we? We go right back to so many places, but that good old Galatians 4:1. Born kings. Born to rule and reign. But not slack concerning our promise, amen? See, you could have been in another meeting, still born into that, but never heard it. Still born of that same seed, still born to be that king, but yet never hearing it. And all I can say to Jesus, I assure him not thankful enough. Oh, I am not even near thankful enough. Now, what we see and what's alive in our hearts, what we see and what is alive in our hearts in this scripture is our inheritance. By faith, it's ours. So why not wholly follow? Why not wholly believe? And why not wholly go in and take it like Caleb, the dog? The dog. Now I know that I'm a sheep, but I'll tell you what, I live with this dog, and what I see a lot of times, and he don't call me dog, but I know that in a sense it's like that. I know the devil just wants to see me dog. Well, I'll tell you what, this dog's gonna hunt. And he's going to hunt that inheritance fully out. I get it. I get it. Sure, it's all against me. But if he be for me, and he's for me, and he's before me, and he's behind me, and his hand's upon me, why aren't I moving in there? Amen? Okay. Let's wrap this up. Never forget the follow through. Never forget it. You may get the first part, you see it, but the follow through is the 45 years later of patience. Of patience, of waiting. See, that's the proof of believing. It's waiting, it's abiding. And it's abiding that, oh, things are changing around me. There's a lot of different things going on. Matter of fact, a lot of things changed with Caleb during that time. You know what happened? Moses died. Uh-oh, Moses died. He was the one I was talking to. And, oh, now the Lord has put Joshua in that place. But the inheritance is just the same. And Joshua gave him the same word. And Joshua was the one that was used to actually give him that inheritance. Boy, a lot of things are being said here right now. I mean, a lot of things. I'm stunned. Because I didn't know. Well, I never know sometimes where he's taking us. Thank you, Jesus. Many hear the bridal message even for a time, but those that receive are those that remain in it. And you remain in it in first love. It's your first love. It's everything. And you remain in it in faith that it's already yours. And once again, that was Caleb. Even though 45 years had passed, that's all he was thinking about. He knew this time was coming, what they were all going to inherit. He had no doubt. He knew God had given him that promised land. Amen? That's why he and Joshua were singled out. You guys get to go in there and get it with all them kids. And you're going to lead them. Because I gave you the faith by grace and you took it. Amen? So he goes in there, praise be to God, and he takes it. And in those 45 years that he waited, he was living as if it was already his. It wasn't something that he was surprised. He was just waiting for the moment that he would get it. And the first thing out of his mouth wasn't for everybody else. It was for him. Oh, wait, I got to be polite here. You know what? I'm going to be polite. And you know, the whole church, God forbid I'd ever say something like this, the whole church will be the bride of Christ because I'm going to be polite. No, I'm not. I'm going to be like Caleb the dog. And I'm going to step up and I'm going to say, no, I want my inheritance first. Huh? That's pretty violent. That doesn't sound correct to me. I'll tell you what, it ravishes him. He's got the one he prefers. You better believe it if you think you're ever going to win it. Well, and he finally says in verse 12, read that again. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Well, you know what? We're in that day. And the Lord spake. And you know what? Give me my crown. Give me my crown. And I want you to understand this. This mountain, this was the very best part of all Canaan, was Hebron. Hebron was the high place. And I love that. He didn't just ask for a place. He said, I want my mountain. I want my high place. And I'm going to leave you with this because it's just too obvious and too clear. That word mountain, one of its definitions is sun glory. And it's only got three. And it's the third one you'll read. It interprets sun glory. But you know what? And I say this, and all thanks be to God, but I know y'all just heard this before. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. Let's pray.
There is no width. There is no height. The depths, the wisdom, the knowledge, the recompense. My ways, my thoughts are past finding out. No. Learn me. Take up your cross. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus.
They thought the giants looked at them like grasshoppers, but I have a
Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today. And Lord, thank you. Our boast is in the Lord. And it is. And Lord, thank you that you are ever increasing because of your grace and mercy. And Lord, we must decrease. And thank you, Lord, that we do come forth. And thank you that you've called us to come forth because now we are the sons of God. And Lord, thank you that we're seen as Paul had preached and as Paul had gloried in that man. That man. Oh God, that encouragement of the infirmity that was in his life. But yet in that was the very power of Christ. Help us, Lord, to know, as we began today, the very power of your resurrection that has brought us the fullness of these things. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.